You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. Welcome to House of Pards, our Lafayette College election radio broadcast leading up to the PBS 39 election broadcast on November 8th. Today we have our second to last show. We will be checking in with two very crucial members of the broadcast. First of all, Laura, who is our PBS 39.
Laura McHugh.
Laura McHugh, who's our PBS 39 contact. She has been very, very helpful, one of the producers of the broadcast, and is helping us throughout the entire process. And we'll be speaking to her about her history with the broadcast, as well as what she's doing this year for the 2016 election.
And then also we'll be talking with John Ottinger, who is the pre-election night producer, student producer. He's in charge of the video essays that we're working on. But first, we're going to be talking with Ben Janicek with our weekly update on the polls and what's going on in the election.
Thanks for coming in, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
So describe what's been recently happening in the presidential race.
Okay, so in the presidential race, Secretary Clinton has, you know, around a 5 or 6 point lead, which is pretty substantial for this at this point. You know, we got 2 weeks to go. If you're a candidate by 5 or 6 points, you're feeling pretty good. The only thing to watch is she's been at this point several other times in the campaign, and then we've seen the margins come together again. We've seen Trump down by this amount, you know, three times, and every time it comes back down to about a tie. So the question is there enough time for that to happen again, and will that same trajectory happen again this time? So we'll be watching to see if that happens. But at this point, you'd much rather be Secretary Clinton than Mr. Trump right now.
What did you see in last week's debate Wednesday night?
Not much movement out of it. The polls stayed about the same. There weren't really any major gaffes out of either candidate. A lot of people talked about Trump and the not accepting the results of the election, but it didn't have much of an impact for either candidate. The race stayed about static afterwards.
So what are some of the key senatorial races looking like at this point in the race?
So the key races are the same as we've been tracking the whole time. New Hampshire's key. Pennsylvania here is going to be key. Florida's very key. North Carolina. At this point, you know, Republicans have been on defense this whole cycle with the map. They have many more states up for grabs that they're defending with incumbents. So we're looking at Democrats definitely to pick up a few seats. They need probably four with the White House to take the Senate. They need to net four. And right now, projections have them right around four. So it's going to be very close on election night to see whether or not they pick up that majority. In Pennsylvania, it's been a 1 or 2 point race either way for the last few months. And Pat Toomey right now, the incumbent Republican, is up 2 points in the RCP average. So he's regained a slight lead, but Pennsylvania is definitely one to watch. It could go either way.
So what are some of the states or state that you've been looking at recently that you found interesting?
There have been a lot of polling out of states that normally you think of as likely Republican states or solid Republican states, Georgia, Arizona, and now Texas, that have their margins have narrowed significantly, where you see Donald Trump with a slight lead. In Arizona now, actually, Secretary Clinton has a slight lead. So Trump's only up a few points in Texas, which is remarkable. And not a good sign at all for his campaign. He's up, you know, a couple points in Georgia, which, you know, if you're a Republican, you don't want to be playing defense in those states. You want to be expanding the map, and right now he's defending against the map, getting really small for him.
Okay, thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you.
Coming up next is our interview with Laura McHugh, the executive producer from PBS 39.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, of course. How did you end up at PBS 39?
So, of course, there's a long story and a short story, and I'll give you the short version in the interest of time. I worked in daily news for about 5 years when I had first graduated from college. I first worked for the CBS stations in the state of Montana, covering the State House. I actually was a bureau in the State House, the state capitol in Montana, and did that for about 2.5 years, and then for another 2.5 years, worked in a suburb of Kansas City called Lawrence, which is where the University of Kansas is located. And after working there while I was in Kansas, I was looking for an opportunity to move back to Pennsylvania, which is closer to where I grew up outside of Philadelphia, and found this station at PBS 39. I loved what they were doing. They did at the time and continue to do reporting that is unique. It's in-depth, it's thorough, and it's complete in its coverage, and I was excited to be a part of that at the time. I joined the station in early 2008 and have been with them ever since.
Awesome. So what is your current role at the station?
Currently, I'm an executive producer, and I run a weekly program called Focus. It's on Tuesdays at 7:30, and we cover the people, places, and issues that matter to you, our viewers in the greater Lehigh Valley.
Awesome. So we've heard Professor Crane's perspective on the relationship between Lafayette and PBS 39. How did you come about to create this relationship, and how do you see it throughout the years and moving forward?
This relationship started in 2012 when we were looking at the election between President Barack Obama and his Republican challenger, Mitt Romney. This was a broadcast that had been, I believe, going on since 2006. And when we heard about it at PBS 39, we thought it would be something that our viewers would really enjoy, hearing from a younger generation, hearing from a unique group of voters. And so we reached out to Lafayette College to see how we might be able to get involved. And that partnership that we began in 2012, which was an election night broadcast, very similar to the one we're producing this year, grew into a really deep relationship that we've strengthened in the last 4 years. It led to 6 news magazine programs that we've created since then. That program is called Lafayette Lens. We've done one almost every semester since 2012, and we've covered some really challenging issues, including cybersecurity, immigration, and healthcare issues like autism.
Very interesting. So we've actually already talked to both Professor Crane and Rachel Robertson. How would you say that your role specifically differs from the two of them?
That's a great question. So at PBS, we are very, very strict in what we allow on our airwaves. Our viewers trust us. PBS is regularly ranked among the most trusted brands in America, and we don't take that trust for granted. We certainly don't take it lightly. So my role in this broadcast is to make sure that everything that I can do to make sure that what ends up on air is fair, balanced, and has the highest of editorial integrity is kept intact. So PBS follows the Radio Television Digital News Association's Code of Ethics, which is one of the industry standards in journalism. It's also the same one used by the Society of Professional Journalists. We also have very strict guidelines from the FCC that allow what we can and can't say on air. As a nonprofit organization, as a public media, we even have more strict guidelines than the commercial stations. So my role here is to make sure that everything that we've done over our 40 plus year history, almost 50 years on the air, that our reputation is held intact and that the students produce the kind of quality work that our viewers will expect from us.
Very cool. What are some of the logistics that you will be working on over the next couple weeks to get everything wrapped up before the election?
Oh, well, thank goodness for Professor Crane and the fact that he has been involved in one of these broadcasts before. I mean, the goal is that viewers will turn on this broadcast at 9 o'clock on election night, and it will be seamless and it will look effortless. What they won't see is the dozens, if not hundreds, of people who are working to bring it all together. So we're going to have a group called New Century. operating a live truck from Farrenon Student Center. There's going to be a lot of logistics in terms of setting all of that up. I mean, we're talking about things down to the number of Ethernet cables that you need to have for the results desk to be able to monitor all the different results that are coming in as quickly as possible. We're also making sure that the broadcast that goes out is of perfect quality so that it looks and sounds like a high-definition, high-quality broadcast should look. So in addition to the team that will physically be here, there will also be a team at PBS 39 monitoring what's going out over the air for us. In addition to that, of course, just the logistics of bringing every last piece that goes into this broadcast to fruition and making sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. I mean, we're talking about things like checking spelling on any graphics that come in. I have to approve all of that. I have to help make the graphics and oversee the administration of the graphics packages that are going to be handled that night. So it's a lot of detailed work, but the goal is that viewers sit down in their living rooms or are watching it streaming and tune in at 9 o'clock, and they can't see all of that work. They're just able to absorb all the content that we're sharing.
Can you talk a little bit more about the logistics of election night? How will switching cameras be handled? How will the overall production be handled and transitioning between various spots?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting look behind the scenes. I mean, it would actually be sort of interesting to stream that part of it as well, you know, maybe to have a camera in the live truck, for example. So there's going to be six cameras located in and around Farrenon Student Center that will be our sources for the evening, in addition to the pre-produced packages that we will roll in. So from those cameras will feed into a New Century Productions live truck. They, in the live truck, will have a director, a technical director, who will be switching between those cameras, rolling in graphics, rolling in the packages. And when I say graphics, I'm talking about sometimes the lower thirds that come up on the screen that have somebody's name in it. In this case, they might have results as they're coming in. Full screen graphics that may have results as well. And so that's all happening from the director's point of view. The director's job is to literally call the shots, what's going to end up on your program monitor. There's also going to be a producer in the truck, as well as a couple of other graphics operators who will bring all of that to life and make sure that the timing of everything is working really well. So it's student produced, but you have the assistance of professionals in the field. So from that truck, it's all being cut live, and it's going out through Service Electric's feed. Service Electric is a cable provider in the Lehigh Valley. So Service Electric will then feed that to PBS 39. PBS 39 will then pump it out of our station from our master. We're laughing because it's very complicated, right? So PBS 39 from our master control room then pumps it out over our different transmission channels to all of our cable providers as well as our off-the-air signal. So you'll be able to see it whether you have Service Electric, RCN, Comcast, or any of the other major cable providers in our region. So it's pretty complicated, and it takes a lot of people doing their jobs. Certainly when you're doing a pre-produced program, I always joke and say as a host, I can't go on air and say thanks for joining us without a dozen people all doing their jobs and doing it perfectly. On a live broadcast like this, it's even more people who are involved. And so, again, that's where, you know, you don't realize all those things go into a live broadcast like that.
What do you think viewers have taken away from previous broadcasts, and what do you hope that viewers will take away from this broadcast?
That's a great question. What I think viewers have taken away from previous broadcasts that we've worked on is that we hear a lot about the younger generation. And technically, I'm a millennial, just like you guys. I turned 35 this year, so I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum of millennials than you are. But I think we hear a lot of talk about millennials that can often be very negative. And my experience from working with college students across the region, but in particular here at Lafayette College, is that there's great hope for our future, that that students here are hardworking, they're thoughtful, and they are dedicated to service. And I hope that viewers are able to take that away from this broadcast as well. This is now the largest voting bloc in the United States. My parents, baby boomers, are no longer the largest group of voters in the United States. It's now millennials. It's people in our age group. And I think that we really need to start paying attention as the media to what this group of voters and what this group of citizens thinks about critical issues such as healthcare, immigration, business climate, and so many of the other issues that we're going to tackle in this broadcast.
Great. Is there anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with before we say goodbye?
Oh, just that we are so honored at PBS 39 to call Lafayette College. The students and the faculty here are partners in this broadcast. We don't enter into these partnerships lightly. It is something that we are really proud to be able to share with our viewers and something I hope will continue for many years to come.
Great. Thank you, Laura. Looking forward to the broadcast.
Thank you.
So now we have John Ottinger in the studio right now to talk about.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, how's it going? Thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
We're going to be talking about your role in the election, election night broadcast, mm-hmm. and what you're doing. So explain how you became the pre-election night producer or student producer.
Right, sure. So this whole program is working out of policy studies in conjunction with PBS 39. So on the policy side of that, I met Professors Crane, Nicole, and Mark back in my spring freshman year. Where I was introduced to their program that they were trying to start up called Lafayette College Television. And at the time, I was just starting my film degree here at Lafayette. I'm an econ film double major. And so I was looking for opportunities that would allow me to practice my video skills as well as involve me more in campus. So working through what we like to call LCTV at the time, I got to meet Professor Cranes a little bit better. And so over time, I've worked with them in the past before. So for my fall, spring freshman year, about that's when I met them. Yeah. So it was my fall sophomore year that I then started video editing for them as a tutor for their FYS class. Nicole Crane was having a video, like a media analyst FYS class that she required a video tutor for. And so I would work that semester for them, working on those kind of projects. And it was then in December of that year, it must have been 2015, that they went down to Guatemala to produce the If I Leave PBS 39 Lafayette Lens program. And so while I was down, still here in Pennsylvania, I live in New York, while I was still here in Pennsylvania, because it was finals, They proposed to me, oh, hey, listen, we need another videographer to come to Guatemala with us and, you know, shoot B-roll and get interviews and help get the message out that we're trying to get across. And some of the students on the team who I still talk to today, they're great kids. A lot of them were even with me up with LCTV. We were sophomores, freshmen at the time, like we're all junior seniors now. We went down to Guatemala and we produced some great content while we were down there. We filmed some great stuff. We went all across Guatemala. We came back in January and we started working on a secondary program that was about cybersecurity, which kind of split up what we could like to call the Asante group. And essentially, I helped give them some tips in their video editing and also story guidelines and just general assistance to like helping get their packages forward. And so after that project, I continued to video edit for them in my junior year, in my fall. And so really like the point that I'm getting to is like, it's just been a continued history with them. That's kind of gotten me to this point. It's been a lot of hard work, I would say. It's literally taken me internationally to like get here. And I've gotten a lot of great experience out of it. So to become the pre-election night producer and like get these packages forward, like, you know, after working on the Lafayette Lens for immigration, you know, that gave me a sense of like, okay, well, this is how these, how concise these have to be. This is how the level of detail that we need to get down to, you know, in terms of interviews, like grabbing the 15-second sound bites, it's important. And so,
Awesome. So John, what specifically does your job entail? What are you doing currently, and what have you been doing for the past 2 months in order to make this broadcast a success?
Right, sure. So essentially, we are working on these video essays within our election class. I believe it's two FYSs, and a third one is joined on, which is a mapping. I might be a little wrong.
So how many total how many total classes are working on video essays?
We have five classes that we're working with. And so what I'm doing is I'm working a little bit with the FYSs and then a leadership class and then also our elections class to get these video essays out. There's about five to seven per class. And what that entails is I need to make sure that students get out and get their interviews, that they have a storyboard that they've outlined, that they've gotten their scripts approved by executive producers like Laura or Mark Crane or even Nicole. On top of that, I need to make sure that students have their voiceovers like scheduled with our, I guess, our third party assistant, Chris Knight, to make sure that he knows when they need to come in so that they can get their audio recordings done so that they can dub what the video actually requires. And that's my job necessarily means that like I need to keep things moving up until the election night and having like strong production value up until that point, making sure that like any graphics that need doing, such as working with my friend Andrew Krisovic, he is working on getting various graphs ready for the election broadcast so that when anchors and analysts say, oh, well, if we look at area X, my friend Andrew, he'll be like, okay, we've got that one. I prepared that, you know, 3 weeks ago. And so I'm just trying to motivate all the students across those classes to continue to like keep editing their story down and getting it all wrapped up.
So are you more, are you working in applying those graphics within each video essay, or are you making sure that everyone's meeting their deadlines? And also, do you have your own video essay, actually?
Right, yeah. So I originally produced a promo video. We can talk about that in a second, but to address your first question. Yeah, so I'm definitely trying to push everybody to get their footage done, their videos completed on time, on deadline. You know, there have been some students who have had issues in terms of acquiring a certain interview. Like it might be good one day, but then, after we've gotten approval from our executive producers, you know, it could be the day of, and then all of a sudden, oh, our interview has been cut and a video project could be completely based on that. So in terms of getting graphics and deadlines and things all matched up, it's definitely about telling the students and like helping them and myself, of course, like being on the ball of like, okay, I need a graphic about, I don't know, X supporters in this location by, you know, 2 weeks before our deadline, before October 20th. And it's all about making sure that you're on top of those deadlines so that you don't have to backlog Chris Knight in terms of making those graphics and, you know, swamping him and hurting everyone else.
What are some of the challenges that these pre-recorded essays have brought up? Because I mean, if you're coordinating, what is it? So if we're just say minimum five essays, five classes, you're working with 25 separate videos. So what are the challenges of like logistically making sure that all of those people are getting their stuff done? They're learning how to use the computers, learning how to edit. Because I know when I was doing this, it was definitely a big, you know, that was a big hurdle, like figuring out how to like actually make a video out of a bunch of random clips.
Right. I mean, one of the things to note is that like there are five classes, but there aren't necessarily 25 videos. We just want to, what we've been trying to make sure happen is that students are working on some detail of the entire broadcast. So there might be some video groups that for some reason, like for example, we had a group that had a fantastic idea about free trade. And what kind of changes in trade policy internationally would do for local markets. And it was because they weren't able to secure interviews with, you know, really name brand, you know, celebrity companies, that we weren't able to go forward with that project. So what happened with that is we eventually had these students, you know, how we reutilized our human capital to figure out where is it that we need to be with these students so that they're getting something out of this class and that we can continue to move forward with the broadcast. So it's been a matter of shuffling students around has been an issue, definitely, like trying to make sure that everyone's strengths are being utilized correctly and that someone, like, there's a job for everyone, but that everyone has a job too.
How are you working in coordination with the Election Night producer? Or I guess these are probably loose titles, but Election Night producer, student producer Rachel Robertson. Mm-hmm. How are you guys working together to make sure that you're coordinating what you're trying to do with what she's trying to do as well?
So me and Rachel, we've been friends for a while. We've gone back all the way to the Guatemala trip production. Working with Rachel, we try to stay transparent with each other. So I always lend myself to her when I say, like, hey, listen, you know, is there anything that you need me to do? She can always come to me and let me know, okay, I need you to go here, here, here. And I tell her, like, listen, I need X, Y things done, you know, in the next week for this pre-production. Can you help me out with that? She's there with me. Like, she's, you know, saying she's out there helping me, like, get movement within students as well. You know, I'm a senior right now and I'm dealing with, like, also my capstone class for film. So in terms of, like, my own time management, being able to kind of like have this fluidity between the both of us sometimes whenever we need like extra side time, it's definitely good. In terms of the broadcast night, I'm there to help out wherever there like might be some edging going on, like wherever they need me to be to cover AV support or script support or just to keep things moving. That's what I'm there for and that's what I want to do. And Rachel understands that and I understand where Rachel's coming from too.
How will these videos be used on the final broadcast?
Okay, so on broadcast night, we're going to be airing live at a Farrenon, 9 p.m. to 11, with some pre-event. But essentially, we're going to have various desks set up where student analysts and student anchors are going to be discussing various topics that are facets of the election that we've been researching and working on and that occur that evening as well on election day. But in relevance to the video essays, between takes of, you know, looking at maybe like the bullpen desk or, you know, the analyst desk, we're going to need some time to kind of give air to the election because this is both something that we want to have informed but also entertaining. And if we just constantly are switching between desks, it might not necessarily make the production as sparkly. And so we want to use these video essays to make sure that we can weave between issues fluidly. And also, you know, retain viewers' attention so that they're understanding, like, oh, while we're, like, waiting on hearing from X location, it's like, oh, now I can understand a little bit more about what's going on with the Supreme Court. And, like, then, you know, the next thing that jumps over is Supreme Court data or whatever happens like that. Even. But that transition happens. And so it's to interspace, you know, live time for the anchors to take a breath and then educate the viewers on something that they might not have been aware about.
When are you expecting for us to have the final schedule in terms of where these 2-minute video essays are going to be implemented throughout the program?
So this Friday, we're starting our big push to do the finishing edits, make the polish that we require. In terms of the schedule, you know, it's a matter of seeing just how done they are and kind of understanding like, okay, which ones, you know, PBS wants to retain a certain quality. And it's not to say that every student's isn't fantastic. Like students' work that I've seen has been wonderful across the board. But they can't all go on. And so we have, like you said, there's potentially 25 videos, maybe 20. We have 2 hours if they're 2 minutes each and we've got 15 of them, that's 30 minutes right there. Like that's a quarter of our broadcast. Depending on the actual structure of the night, we haven't yet revealed that yet. Our video essays are probably, what would I say? Is that the final structure is still up in the air, but we are going to show the ones that definitely like reflect PBS well, reflect what Lafayette believes in, and we also believe will most help the area that we're airing to.
I don't want you to be playing any favorites, but do you have any ones that have particularly piqued your interest or you found interesting?
I've seen a lot of work, and I think at this point, like going through and helping students and editing it all, like I'd really feel bad saying like, oh yeah, this one in particular, but I'm very interested to see. There is a segment that takes place in a barbershop. I'm very excited to see. But, you know, all of the work that I've seen from students has been fantastic. Like, coming into this class, I haven't been necessarily politically versed. I learned a lot just from watching these video essays and going through all the interviews, scrubbing through all the footage with students and like getting their perspectives and understanding it. So really like what goes up that night or what you happen to see later on or whatever's posted, like it's all great. And so I can't necessarily point out too much of a favorite.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Okay. We've been asking all the producers so far. So we've interviewed all four. What they hope the viewers will take from the broadcast. Mm-hmm. So what are you hoping that the viewers, when they watch our 2-minute final product, mm-hmm. what are you hoping that they take away?
I hope that viewers think a little bit more about the elections. I mean, like everyone said, this has been a very polarized election. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to go out with a whisper after November 8th. Like, there's going to be reverberations. Mm-hmm. You know, in society, in culture, in politics, across the board. And I think it's important that people watch this broadcast and learn something and makes their brains a little bit more active so that they can, you know, after the election, still stick with it, you know, still stick with that mindset and be aware of like, well, here's how things are now and moving forward. Like, I should still be aware of these because these are still big issues. You know, I'm still living. Like, I want to make sure that I'm paying attention to politics and paying to my representatives and, you know, we'll be more engaged in terms of like what facets of politics they look at.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming in,
John. Thank you. It's been a great time.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. So thank you for joining us this Tuesday evening. This is our second to last show, so we do encourage all of you to join us next week for our final radio broadcast. We'll be kind of summing up a lot of what we've talked about over the course of the last couple months and looking forward to election night. So
we're going to be particularly talking about some of the key issues in this in this election. We haven't completely firmed it up yet, but we'll be talking to professors throughout Lafayette College about particular issues that they're well-versed in, and hopefully we'll give a really unique perspective about what's going to be going on in this election and what voters will be looking for in candidates.
All right. Have a great rest of your week. We look forward to sharing all that with you next week.